shotglassdigital.com.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who is still working on his Riggsy Facebook fan page, Adam Farmer.
Someone has to take the place of Danny Pink, and Riggsy might just fill the gap.
We'll see. I don't know. We're gonna go through all the episodes that are upcoming this season. We got more information on them. Stephen Moffat, actually, am I right about this? He wrote like an article somewhere where he's actually kind of giving us a hint as to what's going to happen in each episode.
Did he write that? Sure enough.
Yeah. It's attributed to him that he was the writer of this article. So we're going to hit every single episode of this season. We're going to look at what Stephen Moffat has told us about it, and we'll probably speculate beyond that. So
I always knew that he was the one that leaked the secrets about Doctor Who for the previous seasons. It had to come straight from him. He just let it go. He let it slide out there. He's been keeping things pretty locked down, and here we are, the day that we're recording, 3 days before Series 9 hits. And look at that. He just opens up the floodgates and gives us a rundown of each and every episode. This is going to be fun.
But before we get to that, actually a lot of stuff has happened since the last time we recorded. A lot of news, a lot of big news. Things that we've been speculating about have now become fact.
Yeah, there's been rumors thrown out there. There's been things that have just been said offhand that general fandom has started running around with. There's things that we've talked about, speculated about, that sure enough, like you said, they're now facts. And then some big news that just came out today, the day that we're recording, this is September 16th, big news that hit today, that might be just a little bit on the spoiler side. So we'll try to be very cautious about exposing that. But yeah, a lot of stuff. And here we are, just we're right on the brink of Series 9 starting.
So what are we going to get started with talking about tonight? I know we have a couple different things that we're going to hit. I'm going to let you kind of pick. What are we talking about first?
I'm still excited about the offhand comment that was made by an actress out there who said that when asked if she wanted to be on Doctor Who, she said, no, I want to be Doctor Who. That was none other than Hayley Atwell taking the geek world by storm with Marvel. She's starting to pop up all over the place. How did that strike you? We've talked a lot about, will there be a female doctor? We already have Missy showing up. Both of us were pretty okay with that. Really excited about how she approached the character of the Master. How do you feel now that Hayley Atwell has essentially thrown her hat into the ring for wanting to take on the role of the Doctor?
Well, from what I heard about this, it seemed like she kind of said it almost as like, maybe not a joke, but kind of just an aside. Like, oh, that's something I'd like to do. But people really ran with it. And I think she even kind of replied to like the initial reaction, like, oh, wow, like you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get when you joke around about being the Doctor. So I think like many other actors or actresses out there, they'd probably love to play the part, but I don't think she was really considering it more than just kind of saying, oh, that'd be a cool thing to do.
Right, right.
But because of who she is and the popularity of her, I think it really did blow up kind of the geek world. I don't really know her that well. The only thing I really know her from is Captain America. But I guess she's in Captain America.
Agent Carter?
Yeah.
Yep.
But she's in the original Captain America movie, right?
Yeah, she's in the original Captain America movie. She also threw on some old person makeup, which I know you love old person makeup, for Winter Soldier. And then she had not so old person makeup, but still a little bit older for Ant-Man. So she's been in those movies. And then she does have her own series, Agent Carter, that everybody says is spectacular.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, from the little I've seen of her, she seems like a really good actress. I don't have a big opinion about it. So, I don't know. Do you watch Agent Carter?
I've seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't had a chance. There's just so much going on. So many other shows that I've been trying to dip my toes into that I haven't been able to dedicate a lot of time to it. What I have seen of her, though, I absolutely love. And when all of that started to roll, like you said, she kind of said it offhand and then it kind of took on a life of its own. This was the first time where it was said and it was like, oh my goodness, that makes a ton of sense. And I started getting excited about the possibility. I guess having a face, a name that goes along with the idea of a female doctor, I could totally get behind that idea. Yeah, it would totally change a lot of things. I don't know if necessarily fandom or the show itself is quite ready for it, but this was one time that it was like, oh man, that could totally work. That I got a little bit excited, but like you said, it was said offhand. It kind of took on a life of its own, but with all the time that we spent talking about it over the past year and a half, I thought it was quite an interesting rumor or quite an interesting statement to be made when it comes to Whovians around the world.
And who knows, when somebody as popular as her says something like that, you know, someone like Stephen Moffat could take notice.
And I know, right?
Even though she may have never even been on his radar, now she probably is, at least as an option when they're looking to cast the next Doctor. At least it'll cross his mind, I'm sure.
Right. It opens up the doors for someone. And I think if they were going to make such a drastic change, I think it would have to be with someone like Hayley Atwell, someone that has a little bit more name recognition, someone that people already have confidence in. I remember the hubbub when Peter Capaldi was announced as being the Doctor and everybody kind of, are we ready for the old Doctor? Well, It's Capaldi. Capaldi will do it well. It will be okay. I think it would be a similar situation, and having a little bit more name recognition, a little bit more clout definitely would help.
Definitely.
Yeah. So that was the first piece of news the first thing that caught my eye since the last time we recorded. The next one, the big amount of speculation that we had regarding, is a character going to be returning? Will this character ever return? Have we seen the last of this character? And lo and behold, about two and a half weeks before the first episode of Series 9, all the speculation no longer matters because it's been confirmed. River Song is coming back, and she's coming back for the Christmas episode of Series 9.
Wow.
I know, right? Are you ready? Are you prepped for this?
I think we knew this was going to happen, right? Like, we kind of knew it was going to happen eventually, but now that it's actually happening, that River Song is coming back and we don't have to speculate about when it's going to happen, I'm pretty excited. I've always liked the character of River Song. I know a lot of people, you know, she's kind of one of those characters, a lot of people like her, a lot of people don't. But I'm excited for the possibility. I think her coming back, just, there's so many possibilities on where it could go. You know, you have a new Doctor. So the last Doctor, she's met the 10th, the 11th that we know of, and now she'll have met the 12th. But with the 11th, it was a very, you know, kind of romantic relationship. And now the 11th has had a new companion since, you know, and then now he's regenerated to this new guy who is not the 11th anymore. So it's like, where do they stand on their marriage? You know, the whole thing. It's just, it'll be very interesting to see, you know, these two characters go at each other. Because if there's any Doctor that's the polar opposite of Matt Smith's portrayal of the Doctor, it's Peter Capaldi's portrayal of the Doctor.
Yeah, definitely. So
the interactions, I'm sure, are not going to be anything like what we're used to seeing. the way that Smith and River Song interacted.
Yeah, I'm not even going to try to pretend. I was pretty down on the idea of River Song returning right up until the point where it was confirmed that she is returning. And then I got really excited to have her back. The last time we saw her, she was a ghost of some sort. It's when Jenna Coleman, Clara got sucked into the timeline, and she showed up all over the Doctor's timeline, and she was the one that was taking care of him and protecting him. And that was the last time that we saw River Song. And now she's returning in person, in the flesh. It's going to be really interesting, like you said, to see how Capaldi's portrayal of the Doctor, the 12th Doctor, the rough around the edges, Clara not even sure if he really was the Doctor when he first met, when they first met each other, and to see River Song have an interaction. I have a feeling that she's gonna play it off. She's gonna be the same River Song, playful all over the place. She's gonna have a lot of fun with it, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how Capaldi plays the Doctor in that part and how he goes about it. It's gonna be fun.
Definitely. I'm trying to think, like, this, I feel like this is a unique situation, especially in the modern series, when you have a character like this that actually crosses across three Doctors. You know, I know we've had, you know, some companions kind of carry over to two Doctors, but to have a companion kind of show up with three different Doctors is kind of unique, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. We had, just in New Who, the only one that really comes to mind is Rose, with the 9th and the 10th, and then showing up in the 50th anniversary episode with the 11th as Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that necessarily counts.
It definitely counts as far as actress goes, but as far as character, she was not playing, you know, she wasn't Rose.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a good example of someone else who's done it. But I think this might be the actual, like, the only character, you know, companion-wise. I don't know. We might have had some characters that showed up. I don't know. This might be actually the only character in the in modern Who has appeared on screen with three different Doctors.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. But, did Sarah Jane Smith fall into that category? Because she appeared on the scene with the 11th, or was she only with one other before that?
I think she was only with one other.
I mean the 10th, not the 11th.
Right.
Okay.
9th and 10th? I don't know. But like our listeners tend to do, they like to prove me wrong. So
expect the Facebook messages to start coming in.
Yes, I'm tempting fate now. I'm going to start claiming things just to have people show up and prove me wrong.
Yes.
Speaking of that, I did want to point out when I, like, one of the big points of our last episode was the whole Lego trailer and how the 10th Doctor was missing. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And we talked about it. We talked about the trailer. We talked about the 10th Doctor being missing. Maybe there were some reasons why he could have been missing. It was a big point of our episode.
It was.
Well, he wasn't missing.
He wasn't?
No, he wasn't missing. It wasn't very long until somebody, one of our listeners, and I'll give him props. His name is Matt Rushing. One of our regular listeners had jumped in on Twitter, got a screen grab of the 10th Doctor. I just missed it. He was, the Lego version of the 10th Doctor was in that trailer.
Really?
Yep. So.
In the same sequence where they were all appearing and disappearing?
Yep. He got a screenshot of it. I mean, it happened so fast, and I thought I had thoroughly looked at each Doctor, and I thought I had caught them all, and I claimed it on the episode. I said, you know, I think I did it, but maybe somebody will prove me wrong, and sure enough, Matt did prove me wrong with a screenshot, so there's no denying it.
Wow. You
know, so I did reply to him and thank him for proving me wrong, but I did want to mention it on the episode that yes, I am wrong a lot, and I like it when people prove me wrong. So if somebody can think of another character who has shown up on screen with three different modern Doctors, let me know.
Yeah, send us a screenshot on Twitter. I like seeing screenshots on Twitter. Yeah, so the only other piece of news / gossip / rumors, I want to put a big old spoiler warning up front. You and I just briefly chatted. Is this really something that's a spoiler? Is this really not a spoiler? Most sources that I've seen today approach it don't really approach it as a spoiler in and of itself. But just want to toss this out there. If you are a little bit squeamish about details regarding the upcoming series and what may or may not happen, spoiler alert, and fast forward for probably 5 minutes and then catch back up with us. But you think that's sufficient?
Maybe 7 minutes to be safe.
7 minutes just to be safe. Okay, so the big piece of news that came out today, really, honestly, I'm going to say it caught me by surprise. With everything that has transpired over the past year, the news broke today that Jenna Coleman, Clara Oswald, is leaving Doctor Who. And some reports went as far as to say that she has quit Doctor Who. Totally caught me off guard, especially seeing that there were rumors that she was supposed to be leaving last Christmas episode, and then everything was worked around and she decided, no, I'm on board. I want to make this happen. And then here we are getting news that she has officially quit Doctor Who.
Yes. This is official, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
No more. We're not speculating that she's leaving or no, this a rumor. This is officially announced that she is leaving the show.
Yeah, she's officially leaving the show. She has signed up for a 8-part drama series where she'll be starring as Queen Victoria. Going to be on ITV over in the UK. I think I saw somewhere that it's like a $10 million production. It looks like she got a better offer and she's jumping ship. As I read through some of the reports, one thing that had me curious, because all of them are reporting that she has already filmed her final episode, everything's done, it's taken care of. My big question is, how long have they known about this? And are we going to get a proper ending for Clara? Or is it going to be one of those things where she filmed her final episode and then she decided that she wasn't going to be on the show anymore? And so at the start of the next season, she's just gone. I don't know. I'm hoping that's not the case. I don't think I could take that.
I think we get a proper ending. I think they've known for a while, based on some of Stephen Moffat's quotes about this. It seems like this has kind of been something that, you know, we had always heard that there were rumors that she was going to leave before the Christmas special. Well, those rumors were actually pretty founded because she was going to leave before the Christmas special. She actually specifically asked to be written out of the show, and they actually had, you know, from what I read today from Stephen Moffat's quotes, they had actually written a version of that episode that she wasn't going to come back. That was supposed to be her last episode. That was the parting of the Doctor and Clara. And that episode does kind of end in a way that you would think they were parting ways.
Oh yeah, totally.
And then I guess she kind of changed her mind, wanted to come back for the Christmas special. So they wrote an alternate ending to the Christmas special and they changed their mind again. And so that, you know, that's kind of the same thing. That ending seems like it could be the end as well, but then doesn't she come back? Like, you think they're going to end and then she kind of comes back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. So there, apparently there was an alternate ending that she was gone for good again, and now she's back again, and now she is going to leave, but now I guess it's for reals.
Yeah. It's for reals. It's IRL in real life. She's done. She is out of here. I want to ask the question, if you're ready for her to be done, but seeing that we're going to get an entire new series of her, I think I'm going to reserve that question for a little bit. I am honestly more shocked right now that it's done, it's over with, and it is confirmed that the Christmas episode, yeah, that's her final go. We won't have any more Jenna Coleman, Clara Oswald after the Christmas episode. So that it's just a matter of how now, right? Is it going to be a terrible end? Is it going to be, does Danny Pink come back and rescue her?
Stop.
We have to see. We're going to have to wait and see how this plays out.
Oh, please, no.
I don't know. Looking at some of the episode titles, I'm waiting for it.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Well, because it's going to happen in a Christmas episode, I have a feeling that her ending will be uplifting. They tend to, with the Christmas specials, although not all of them, you know, some of them can be kind of intense, but the endings typically are pretty uplifting.
Right.
So I don't think she's going to have some kind of tragic death or anything like that. She probably will leave on good terms with the Doctor. But yeah, I'm going to answer your question anyways, even though you said you're not going to ask it yet. Am I ready for her to go? I think I am. I think I've been ready for her to go. And they keep kind of teasing us with her leaving, and then she comes back, and then tease us again, and then she comes back. So this time I'm ready. I'm ready for it to be real. I'm ready for somebody new. She's lived about the lifespan of what a typical companion should live with the Doctor. And I think, you know, she's had her Danny Pink and, you know, the Doctor and her and their kind of awkward relationship and whatever. I'm ready for a different dynamic. Now, here's something to think about. She's leaving in the Christmas special. But who is coming back in the Christmas special?
River Song.
Do you think there's a possibility River Song would actually stick around for a bit and maybe kind of fill that role of the companion, at least temporarily, until they brought somebody else on board?
Now, that is interesting, because it wasn't too long ago that we found out that she was coming back for the Christmas special. I wonder if that did coincide with Clara Oswald mentioning, Jenna Coleman mentioning that she was no longer going to be on the show. I wonder if it was one of those situations where they brought her back for that purpose, if she will hang out with the Doctor for a little bit longer. Another thing that jumped out there was all the hubbub about Maisie Williams and whether or not she would be a returning character. Well, that kind of opens the door for that to actually pan out and for her to be a returning character, whether or not that would end up coming to be. And another thing that just hit me, the way that the last Christmas episode ended, where she was an old woman and we thought, oh, it's all over, he missed his chance, it's over now, and then she wakes up. What happens if this Christmas episode has dream crabs in it again, and we find out that the entire season was a dream?
I think we've been down that road. I think we did a whole, like, 15-minute, you know, tirade about the possibilities of the dream crabs. Now that you've introduced dream crabs into the Doctor Who lore, it can pretty much explain away almost anything. So
they're coming back.
Let's hope Moffat doesn't do something like that to us.
And I'm looking for the source that I looked at this earlier today, but it mentioned that she is the longest running companion at this point in time, or
of the modern companions.
Possibly finishing the series would make her the
So when did she showed up in a Christmas special?
She appeared with the 11th in in the Christmas special with the snowman. Yeah.
So how many seasons did she do with Smith? Or I guess she did a half season after. So she did like a season and a half with Smith and now 2 seasons with Capaldi. Is that about right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I
4 years. 4 years on the show.
She's definitely been around for a while. And
oh, yeah. Series 9 will make Coleman the longest serving companion in the whole of the reboot series.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Doesn't feel like it.
But I've liked her run. She hasn't always been my favorite companion, but you know, I think she does play a different kind of companion than we got with Rose and with Amy, you know, a whole different kind of character. And you know, I did enjoy her run, so she did a good job. She will be missed, but I am looking forward to something new, something different, and we'll see which direction they go with it. I mean, anytime you get a new Doctor, anytime you get a new companion, you don't know what's coming, really. So I'm sure the announcement of who the new companion will be is going to come out before we find out on screen who it's going to be. So we'll have plenty of time to speculate on if we think we're going to like them or not.
Oh man, I don't think I'm ready for that. I don't think I'm ready for that announcement. That's going to be big.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty big news. That's kind of what happened. I remember when they announced Amy leaving. you know, it wasn't too long after that they announced the actress that would be playing the new companion.
Yeah.
And we had plenty of time to
Soufflé Girl and
yep.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting. That's one of the things I love about Doctor Who, the change. And we have more change coming, and I think that's what keeps the show fresh.
Yep.
So there was like a, I know there was a new trailer that we didn't really talk about because it came out since we recorded our last episode. But then there was also like a prologue. I guess it's a prologue to the first episode.
Yeah.
Has already been released. It's like 2 minutes long. That was pretty interesting. I know we had talked about some things that the actress that played, what are they called?
The Sisterhood of Karn.
Sisterhood of Karn, the actress who appeared with the Eighth Doctor as he was regenerating into the War Doctor in that little short that we were talking about, is now returning. And we get to see her in this prologue, so we know that they are going to be playing some sort of a role in what the Doctor's doing at the beginning of Season 9.
Yeah, I watching that prologue, the trailers are usually filled with monsters and villains and explosions and special effects and CGI and what have you. Watching that prologue, though, those 2 minutes of solid dialogue, very, very mellow dialogue, not much happening there. But yet it reminded me of why I enjoyed Capaldi so much for Series 8. It more than anything else that I've seen up to this point, the prologue got me ready for the series. It has me excited again to see what would happen, especially seeing where they are and then referencing the trailers and seeing some other things that are going on there. I'm trying to figure out who he's talking about in the prologue, what they're talking about in the prologue, but I also don't want to just ruin or spoil that moment for myself because I really enjoyed that prologue.
Yeah, it kind of had a similar feel to that little 6 minute short that we got with the Eighth Doctor. But the actress is playing that role a little bit differently. She seems much more friendly to the Doctor, almost like they're old friends, as opposed to with the Sisterhood of Karn, when we first see them, it's almost like this mysterious woman that's right. Very serious. And this time around, it's kind of like, oh, they're old friends. And she's even dressed in a way that's not as intimidating. And it's just her. There's no like weird potions that she's handing him or anything like that. Or Time Lord science going on. So, yeah, it's definitely cool that they're tying that in. And I'm very interested to see, because everything they said was very mysterious. It was very, you know, they're just dropping stuff on us that seems like it's really heavy.
Right.
But we don't know what it's about. You know, who are they talking about? What are they talking about? Where? What? Like, she's like, are you going to go there? Yeah, I'm going to go there. You know, like, what? Where? Like,
and then he ends by, like, saying, take care of the universe for me.
Yeah.
And like, it's like, oh, snap, what's happening?
Which it seems like that's something they like to do with every version of the Doctor. They always have these moments where they kind of, you know, they go out on their own, you know, for a while and, you know, and big things are happening or they're like, oh, I need to step outside of the universe right now because things are just too chaotic and, you know, I'm actually causing more harm than I'm causing good. And, you know, every Doctor seems to go through that. This seems a little early for Capaldi to be going through that. You know, it's only the beginning of his second season, but, but it does make it a lot more interesting to see that prologue as we're starting into a new season. And it opens up so many questions. So I'm really, yeah, that got me really hyped up. I remember when you tweeted me or texted me or however you sent it to me, the link to it. And I just remember watching it and being like, oh, yeah, yeah, this has got me excited.
Yeah, it was the anchor for the series or for the lead up to the series for me. And with all the different rumors or tidbits that have been dropped leading up to the episode, I mean, we know Misty's back. She fits into the discussion that they were talking about. There's been some rumor that Davros in one form or another is back. That name kind of fits into the discussion that they're having. Could it be someone totally out of the picture that we have currently? It could definitely be that. There's a lot of mystery wrapped up into those 2 minutes, and they play it really well. I mean, that's they know what they're doing when it comes to things like that. So yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
So that kind of leads us into the next thing we're going to talk about here. And Stephen Moffat actually wrote, we were kind of referring to this at the beginning of our episode, he actually wrote teases to all 12 episodes, and every title every episode title has now been revealed for the entire season. And so Stephen Moffat wrote this. I saw it in Radio Times. I saw the link. I clicked on it, and they actually attribute the writing of this article to Stephen Moffat. So it seems pretty legit that this is actually from him. I hope it is. listeners, prove us wrong. But yeah, so this looks pretty legit. And basically, this rundown has who the episode's written by, the title of the episode, the director. And then he includes quotes from the episode, as well as like a little kind of tidbit thing that is supposed to kind of tease it. So I thought it'd be kind of cool to go down through these and just look at each episode and kind of just, you know, this is all official information out there. Sure, it could be spoilery if you don't want to know kind of these hints that Stephen Moffat has dropped. Now would be the time to tune out.
Also Moffat. I doubt he's going to spoil the entire episode. If anything, I'm kind of expecting half of these to be totally misleading.
Mr. X. I mean, it's definitely not like where he's spoiling the episode, but there's a lot of information here that I don't think we knew. And I think it clears up some of the scenes that we've seen in the trailers and kind of puts them into place. Now we know kind of what episodes they fall in. I don't know. What do you think the best way to do this is? Do you want to actually read these and kind of talk about them? Do you want to just, I don't know. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah,
Want to read through them?
You might as well, right?
All right. Okay. Episode 1, Magician's Apprentice. We've known this title for a while. Written by Stephen Moffat, directed by Hedy McDonald.
Yeah, this is like one of the first titles that we were ever told. I think it was as the Christmas special ended, this title came up on the screen. So,
yes.
Yeah, we've known about this ever since the end of the Christmas special.
And one of the cool things about these titles, and we'll see as it goes along, is they're very relative to each other.
Yeah.
You know, totally. Like each title seems to almost build on the next or build on the previous. And a lot of them seem related. So it'll be cool to see how all this stuff ties together.
And that's one thing. There's another short video, Introduction to Series 9, that is available to watch on YouTube, where Moffat basically says that, like, this season's going to be a little bit different. They're going for the bigger story. There's going to be a lot of cliffhangers. There's going to be a lot of two-parters. But it's reading through the episode titles, it definitely feels that way. Like you said, they all relate to each other quite a bit. It feels like Moffat is aiming for one big, tied-together, relatable story.
Right. So they start out with a quote here about a confession dial. What's a confession dial? In your terms, a will. This is the last will and testament of the Time Lord known as the Doctor. So that's the quote that they included. And then the little blurb here. A final message from a dying scientist, a plea from the deadliest corner of time and space. Only one man can answer. But he has gone missing from all of time and space. Where is the Doctor? As the skies of planet Earth stand frozen, Clara Oswald enters into a dangerous alliance. The Doctor is gone from the universe. Friends and enemies alike can find him nowhere. When even the Daleks can't track down their ancient foe, and the Doctor's old friend and nemesis Missy is forced to ask for help, does it mean that the madman in the box has truly disappeared? What fear or what terrible shame could possibly drive the Doctor into the shadows? The answers are more dreadful than Clara's worst imaginings, and she finds herself embarking on a journey into the Doctor's worst nightmare. So, that's episode 1.
Yeah. That's, wow.
That sounds pretty interesting. A lot of stuff going on there. The Daleks are mentioned. Missy is mentioned, Missy. Which we knew she was coming back, but it sounds like she's going to be right there in the first episode.
Clara has a dangerous alliance that she enters into.
Which,
the Daleks, or is it Missy?
Or all of them. Who knows?
Or all of them.
But yeah, so the Doctor's gone missing. I know this. We were kind of saying how that's happened before. So yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Shall I take the next one?
Yeah, you do number 2.
The next one, The Witch is Familiar. I think we knew this title for a while now. Written by Stephen Moffat, directed by Hedy McDonald. This is the quote from the episode, "The Doctor is trapped. He's a prisoner of the creatures who hate him the most in the universe. Between us and him is everything the greatest warrior race in history can throw at us. We, on the other hand, have a pointy stick. Nice.
Yep, yep. And it sounds like he's a prisoner of the creatures who hate him the most. Sounds like maybe he gets captured by the Daleks.
Possibly, which ties into the trailer. And here's the synopsis. There are places the Doctor should never go, planets where his life would not be worth an hour's purchase. When he finds himself in the very worst of these, without his TARDIS or his Sonic, and with his best friends murdered in front of his eyes, oh snap, he has only his wits to keep him alive, and perhaps something else. What is the Doctor's confession? Why did he really leave Gallifrey all those centuries ago? And is it a secret he's willing to give up? His best friend's murdered in front of his eyes?
I have a feeling that's not going to really happen.
I
mean, assuming one of his best friends is Clara, and we know she makes it to at least the Christmas special. So
he goes back to the town called Christmas, and everybody there is slaughtered.
No, what's going to happen, Adam, is they're going to bring back Danny Pink. And everyone's going to be like, oh, Danny's back. And then he gets murdered right in front of the Doctor's eyes.
He's the soldier running in the trailer that gets gunned down.
So, yeah. Sounds like we might. So Gallifrey is back. They mentioned Gallifrey. Oh, it's not back, but they mentioned it. Why did he really leave?
That Doctor's confession is still, again.
And that's a big. That's actually a big mystery that is out there. Like, I know we've seen different times where they've mentioned the Doctor leaving Gallifrey. We've actually seen, I think, I forget, recently they did kind of a mashup. Oh, that was in the part where Claire jumps into the Doctor's time stream.
Yeah.
And we get to see flashes of all the different Doctors, and we actually see him, like, kind of sneaking into a TARDIS as the first Doctor. So, you know, they've mentioned it, they've shown it, but we don't really know why. You know, we always know the Doctor was kind of on the run, but we don't really know why. So that would be quite a reveal if they actually do reveal it. All right.
Yeah.
Under the Lake, Episode 3, written by Toby Whithouse, directed by Daniel O'Hara. Here's the quote. It's impossible. It's evil. I hate it. It's astonishing. I want to kiss it to death. So that was from the trailer.
That's from the trailer.
we were both kind of laughing at that quote there. So now we know which episode that's coming from. Here's the blurb. Under a lake in the dripping gloom of an underwater base stands a gleaming black spaceship.
Recovered I love from, the adjectives.
Recovered from the lake bed. Nothing is inside, but when the base crew start dying, they make a terrible discovery. Ghosts are real!
Exclamation point.
And their friends are refusing to stay dead.
Exclamation point.
The Doctor and Clara arrive to find a base under siege from beyond the grave. But how can the dead be walking? What has brought them back? When the Doctor discovers the truth, it is more terrifying than any simple ghost story. So I'm thinking this is the stuff that we see with the people that are kind of walking around with, like, the blacked out eyes.
Yeah, the freaky whisper men looking people.
All right. Makes sense.
Cool. Kiss it to death.
Kiss it to death.
Episode 4, Before the Flood. Episode 4, Before the Flood, written by Toby Whithouse. So it sounds like it's the second part of episode 3, directed by Daniel O'Hara. The quote, Doctor, hello, can I just say, huge fan. I like it. And the blurb, in the eerie remains of a town that never was, something is stalking the Doctor and his friends. A desperate battle for survival is underway, but this time our heroes already know which of them is going to lose. With the past and the future hanging in the balance, the Doctor is breaking the rules to win the day. Can anything stop the Fisher King? And more importantly, who composed Beethoven's Fifth? Interesting.
I can't place this one as the trailers go.
The Under the Lake and Before the Flood. So there's... The second trailer, there's like this scene where there's a fish-looking creature standing on the edge of something, and all of a sudden all this water, this wall of water is rushing towards him, or it. I think that might be the Fisher King and the eerie remains of the town that never was and the flood and all that. I think that might be where that scene is from, but
so it's
I have no idea about Beethoven's Fifth. I think it's like
a big fish.
It's like, yeah, with legs and like seaweed dangling off of his arm. The Fisher King. It might be off of Adventure Time.
Hey, yeah. This is Doctor Who. I mean, they got to have the cheesy along with the scary, right? So
I don't know. This episode, if we're already placing bets on the low point of the season, episode 4 might be where that hits.
So in the Radio Times article, I know there's other articles that have reposted this, but at least in the Radio Times article, there's an image above this of the Doctor and Clara standing in this mirrored type room. Are you seeing this image?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Doctor, and I know they've released images of him wearing this before, but he's got kind of a new outfit going on. He's got this kind of red velvet jacket now.
Yeah.
Which is different. I know he had the red lining, but now he's gone full on, like the whole thing is red or maroon.
And he has the crazier looking hair, so I would say it is from the new season.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is where he busts out his guitar and he plays Beethoven's Fifth.
On a guitar?
Yeah.
Hey, you never know. I'm not super familiar with the way Beethoven's Fifth sounds, so.
Nah, and I'm, yeah. I think that's the da-da-da-da. I think that's Beethoven's Fifth.
Oh, okay. All right, so episode 5, The Girl Who Died, not The Girl Who Waited.
And this is with Maisie Williams.
Oh, yeah. The Girl Who Died. Okay, so this was written by Jamie Matheson and Stephen Moffat, directed by Ed Bazalgett.
I'll take it.
All right, the quote is, "There's going to be a war tomorrow, and here's some news. This just in, we are going to win the hell out of it." Oh, I got to curse. So... And here's the blurb. In the backwater of history, in a little Viking village where all the warriors have just been slaughtered, a young girl called Ashildur is about to make a desperate mistake. The Maiar are the deadliest mercenaries in the galaxy, famed for being unstoppable and without mercy. And Ashildur has just declared war on them. The Doctor and Clara have 12 hours to turn a handful of farmers and blacksmiths into a fighting force ready to face down Odin himself. And there's more, because this is the day when the Doctor remembers where he's seen his own face before. What?
Oh, snap.
Oh wow, snap. Cool. So, wow. All right. Well, so we get Maisie Williams. You're saying that's she's playing Ashildur?
Ashildur. Paying Ashildur.
Ashildur. That's very Lord of the Rings-esque, that name.
Viking, Norse, yeah. You know.
So we get the Vikings coming back, hopefully the same Vikings from the monk episode from the yes. First Doctor. It would be great if it was the same group of Vikings. That would be amazing.
It's going to be great if he finds the monk that he left behind.
Yeah, or maybe the monk regenerated into a shoulder.
Oh.
There you are, old man.
Oh.
That would be amazing, although...
Does he call him old man in that episode?
No.
Are you sure? I think he does.
Maybe he does. Well, I don't know. Longtime watchers of Doctor Who have probably, you know, the monk's fate may have already been decided. I don't know.
Probably.
We've only gotten past the first Doctor, so somebody anyway. Is listening right now screaming, "The monk's dead," or whatever. So,
monk, I need a monk.
But who knows? That would be actually kind of cool if they did tie all that in, but I don't know if they'd go that far back.
Anyways, everything that, like, there's so many random tidbits from the trailers that I think are applied here, because there's Maisie Williams that we've seen show up a couple times. There is Odin. There's these crazy, like, robot looking things dressed in armor that march through a village. They're going to be in there. I think the fire breathing lion might show up in this episode, because I think I saw them in the carriage that Maisie is, like, trying to attack. I have this feeling that, like, most of the trailer comes from these two episodes.
Okay.
But...
And Odin's there.
And Odin, yeah. The Odin who I think has a glowing red eye, but I could be wrong. So, episode 6, again, Maisie Williams. The episode 5 was The Girl Who Died.
Wait. All right, are we skipping over the fact that the Doctor has seen his own face before?
Oh, no.
We can't skip that.
No, we can't skip that, because we've been talking about that since Capaldi was announced.
Yeah, that's something that we keep kind of seriously talking about, kind of joking, talking about the whole Capaldi's been in Doctor Who before. Are they going to tie that in? You know, why does he have the same face as the guy that was at Pompeii? So yeah, do you think we're gonna find out for, you know, a reason for that, or is he just gonna recognize his face and that's it? It says he remembers where he's seen his own face before. So
yeah, I don't know for Moffat, because it's Moffat that included this.
Yeah,
I think it might actually be a bigger thing than what I want to say it is.
Yeah, I told you.
I told you.
Told you it was coming, man.
Told you so.
We just got to rewind back to the episode, because I think you asked me at one point, like, when I thought, and I think I gave it like a timeline, like
I think
at
you
what
said,
point.
Like, episode 7.
Episode 7 of season 2. I was off by a couple. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's cool that they are going to reference that, it seems like.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. Something to look forward to. Episode 5, The Girl Who Died.
And then
mark that
6.
One. Episode 6, The Woman Who Lived. Oh, goodness, really. Written by Catherine Trigena.
Trigena.
Trigena. Directed by Ed Bagel Guy.
Baguette?
Bazelgette. This is the quote from the episode. Ninja, nun, surgeon, scientist, composer, inventor. It's a fantastic CV.
What does that mean? What is CV?
It's like a resume.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like a British thing?
I have no idea. I don't know what CV actually stands for. I have learned here recently, though, that's what it means. So the blurb from the episode. England, 1651. The highwayman known as the Nightmare is plaguing the land, but the Nightmare is not all he seems, and his fire-breathing accomplice, who lurks in the shadows, is clearly more than human. Ah, that's the lion. The Doctor, on the trail of an alien artifact, is brought face-to-face with the consequences of his own actions. For once he encounters someone who won't let him turn his back on the things he has done. But will the Nightmare be his friend or foe? It may well take till the end of the universe to be sure. Hmm. Man, so that is the episode that has Maisie Williams in it as well. But they're setting that up. Like, that's crazy. Huh.
So, yeah, it seems like episode 5 almost takes place like in like more of a medieval type setting.
Yeah.
And then now we're getting England of 1651. Yeah, so maybe she actually hops in the TARDIS.
Maybe she's actually the Time Lord Monk.
We got to stop saying that. People are going to make fun of us.
Oh, come on. I'm the guy that's talked about Danny Pink for more episodes than he ought to. I already get made fun of.
I love how we have these things that just keep coming back, you know.
Yeah.
It's the monk.
I have a fascination.
But yeah, so we had the lizard lady, and now we're going to have a fire-breathing lion face man. So yeah, Doctor Who, true and true.
Yeah, I might take a fire-breathing lion, though.
Over the lizard lady? Over Vastra?
Vastra has run her course. I'm ready for the fire-breathing cowardly lion. Who's the king of the forest?
I hope he has the same voice as the cowardly lion. That would be amazing.
I'm the king of the forest.
I was going to try, but nope. No. episode 7, The Zygon Invasion, written by Peter Harness, directed by Daniel Netheim. Here's the quote. Operation Double is a covert operation outside of normal unit strictures to resettle and rehouse an alien race in secrecy on planet Earth. Ooh.
Huh.
So, the blurb. A long time ago, the Doctor made a deal in the Tower of London. 20 million Zygons walk among us in human form, living undetected in peace and harmony. But cracks are showing in this delicate peace. Humans and Zygons are disappearing. In city apartment blocks, lifts are going missing. And far below the streets of Britain, alien pods are growing in secret caverns. Unit's scientific advisor, what? Osgood, sends a desperate message to the Doctor. But since Osgood is long dead, how is that even possible?
Huh.
So, Zygons walk among us. Did we know that?
No.
Okay, so this is new information.
This is new information.
So the Zygons apparently have been living on Earth in human form. This kind of reminds me of Men in Black. You know, the secret agreement to keep aliens hidden from humans.
I'm trying to think of how this fits in the episode where, like, the Zygons try to... Did they try to take over the world, or did they try to blow it up?
I'm forgetting the details. They were in the 50th anniversary special, right?
Yeah.
And that whole thing. They were definitely trying to destroy the Earth, because there was the whole scene with them and the clock and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe now they're referencing the Tower of London, which that was also part of the 50th anniversary. So maybe there was some deal that happened there that we are, because a long time ago was back when the Doctor was
in the Tower of London,
right?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Why not?
It works. But,
yeah. So Osgood's back, which is kind of, you know, we knew that was going to happen too, but we're kind of wondering how.
Yeah.
But it seems like since Zygons are involved and Zygons can, you know, take on the form of humans, that the explanation will probably be something like that, you know.
Zygon, or Osgood was a Zygon when she got killed, or the new Osgood would be a Zygon?
I think the former would be much more palatable. But it could be either.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not a Zygon and not really Osgood. I hope it really is Osgood, and that the Osgood that we saw get disintegrated by Missy was actually a Zygon. Because we did already see that, right? Like,
yeah.
Because when Osgood was in that ashes. Episode, they did show that there was a Zygon that was pretending to be her.
Yeah, we did see that. We did see that.
So there is some precedence for it.
Yep.
And
okay.
The next episode title might tip us off. Go ahead.
Episode 8, The Zygon Inversion. Not Invasion, The Zygon Inversion. Written by Peter Harness and Stephen Moffat. He tossed his hand into the writing of this one. Directed by Daniel Netheim. The quote is, "Humans cannot accept us the way we really are. If we cannot hide, we must fight. You're going to be the first. You're going to be the first to make the humans see." And then the blurb is, "The future of planet Earth is sealed in a box and Unit's back archive, and only the Doctor knows what's inside. With Unit under Zygon control and Clara lost, the Doctor and Osgood find themselves fugitives in a London where no one can be trusted. But the wily old Time Lord knows there's one last hope for peace, because that box in the Black Archives isn't an old box. It's an Osgood box."
An Osgood box? What is that?
Oh, man. I don't know. Too many riddles. But it's cool to see that Osgood's going to be able to run around with the Doctor this time.
And it looks like it does, based on this, that Osgood will be Osgood. I don't think they would have her be such a big part of a couple episodes with her just being a Zygon.
Yeah, and there was that photo. Yeah. There's a photo that showed that appeared online, like, after it was released, that she's going to be coming back sitting in the makeup chair, and there's like a picture of Zygon next to the mirror, and then like prosthetic Zygon hands and stuff like that on the table.
Right.
That's too much of a setup.
Yeah. Like,
has to be. She'll be the real Osgood. I'm more interested in finding out what part of the Doctor she's assimilated into her costume this time. Like, she had the scarf the first time we saw her. She had the bow tie the second time we saw her. What part of the Doctor will she be representing when she shows back up on screen?
Is she wearing chucks? She's wearing chucks, right?
She has chucks on. Yes, she does.
So I think she was wearing chucks before, though. So that's another
sweater she has on?
That's another element.
Whose sweater is that? Is that Troughton's sweater?
Troughton didn't wear a sweater.
No, which dude with the floppy blonde hair?
Oh, the sixth Doctor you're talking about.
Yeah. No. The fifth Doctor.
Oh, the fifth Doctor, Peter Davison.
Yeah, look at her sweater that she has on in the mirror.
You can kind of see it. Yeah, it's got a similar color, possibly. Maybe.
Anyways.
So, Sleep No More, Episode 9, written by Mark Gatiss. directed by Justin Malotnikov. This is footage collected from a space rescue mission. If you value your life, your sanity, and the future of your species, do not watch it.
Nice.
That's all. That's all he gives us from that one. So nice. That may be the most mysterious episode because the least was said about it. Even the guy they show in the image there, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, they made a big deal about him coming out on the show, but I can't remember who he is. And okay. This is the episode that everybody is saying is supposed to be the freakiest episode of Doctor Who ever.
Interesting. He's got his clothing looks a little futuristic. And it's about a space rescue mission. So I'm guessing this one will be set either in present day or the future. And he's got some pretty cool glasses on.
Future of your species. Do not watch it. We had a video that you weren't supposed to watch at one point in time that involved the Weeping Angels. Hmm.
So I think he got his glasses from Warby Parker.
Nice. I wonder how many pairs he tried on first. How many times he had to send them back.
Well, it's only fitting that the president of the Rigsy fan club would be reading this next.
There you go. Perfectly one. Timed. I'll get right on that Facebook page after I take this picture for the header. That is a solid picture. We need to find some way of posting that on our Facebook page.
It's hard to take that guy seriously.
I know, right? Episode 10, Face the Raven. Okay. Written by Sarah Dollard. Directed by Justin
Malotnikov.
Malotnikov. There we go. Justin Malotnikov. The quote is, there have always been rumors, stories passed from traveler to traveler, mutterings about hidden streets, secret pockets of alien life right here on Earth. That's the quote. Which, Zygons are pockets of alien life right here on Earth.
We know that now.
And the summary is, have you ever found yourself in a street you've never seen before? The next day, could you not find that street again? You weren't dreaming. Your memory isn't playing tricks. Like many lost souls throughout the ages, you've stumbled on an extraordinary secret. Be grateful you survived it. The Doctor and Clara, with their old friend Rigsy, find themselves in a secret alien world, folded away among the streets of London. Not all of them will get out alive. One of the three intruders must face the Raven.
Rigsy.
Seriously?
Well, I mean, there's three. Doctor, Clara, Rigsy. They're not going to kill the Doctor or Clara.
What if they kill Clara? What if she doesn't make it to the Christmas special?
But she does. Don't we know that?
What if the Doctor regenerates?
That would be a shocker.
Mid-season
regeneration, completely unexpected. People would revolt.
Not going to happen.
Rigsy's I don't think that'll ever happen. I think anytime the Doctor is going to be replaced, we will know well ahead of time. I doubt they'll ever be able to surprise us. But yeah, Rigsy, who would have thunk? He's back. It could be worse. It could have been the little girl from the chicken episode.
Yep. Could have been Courtney. And it could have been worse. He could have been around for more than one episode.
Yeah. I don't know. Out of the two, I would much rather have Rigsy back. And you never know. Like, I know there have been characters that I didn't like the first time I saw them, and then they brought them back. And, I'm hoping that Rigsy grows on me a little bit.
Yeah, we'll give him a go. A solid go of Face the Raven.
All right. Episode 11, Heaven Sent. Interesting title because of Death in Heaven being a big episode last season.
Where Danny Pink comes back.
Okay. So this one is actually written by Stephen Moffat too. So chances are this probably will tie in with, Death in Heaven stuff. Directed by Rachel Talalay, and there's not very much going on here either, but here's the quote. When at last you rise to go, there will be another shadow next to yours, and your life will then be over. Are they still facing the Raven here?
I have no idea.
All right, and there's just a quick little one sentence or two sentence thing. In a world unlike any other he has seen, the Doctor faces the greatest challenge of his many lives, and he must face it alone.
I did read something not too long ago that Capaldi recorded or filmed an entire episode, and he was by himself the entire time. He was the only actor on set the entire time. Maybe this is going to be that episode.
So, Face the Raven. They say somebody's going to die. then the next episode he's by himself. So maybe they do give us a little tease and we think Clara's dead, but then she actually shows back up in episode 12.
Or maybe the doctor's dead and that's why he's all by himself.
Oh, yeah. In heaven.
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm liking the speculation. So what okay. about
episode 12? Were you going to say something?
I couldn't remember if you or me were supposed to read this one.
Oh. Episode 12, Hellbent. Written by Stephen Moffat, so we have a two-part ending to the series, 11 and 12. Directed by Rachel Talalay. The quote, "It's a sad song. Nothing's sad till it's over, then everything is. What's it called? I think it's called Clara. Tell me about her." Oh, that was the quote. And the blurb, "If you took everything from him and betrayed him and trapped him and broke both his hearts, how far might the doctor go? It is time at last for the doctor's confession." Wow.
That's the final one, right? So the next episode would be the Christmas special, and then that's it.
Yep.
So it sounds like they are definitely winding down Clara, which makes it seem like they were definitely writing for this ending for her. But the doctor is going to be saying goodbye to her. Sounds like maybe this episode might lead into the Christmas special.
Might lead into the Christmas special? What if... No, I'm not even going to go there. Yeah.
No, I like what ifs.
So we still don't know if there's a series 10, right?
Okay. So that was another email we got, or I don't know. We got some sort of message from...
Yeah, I saw a Facebook message.
Did you read that?
Yeah.
One of our listeners called us out and was like, "Come on, guys. There's going to be a season 10. Quit quoting these unfounded rumors." So...
Yeah, and I went through all the financial reports that he sent us links to for the BBC. And while it did say that that Doctor Who is like a financially profitable episode or series for BBC, it never once confirmed that there would be a 10th series or that the 10th series would be anytime soon. I totally could have missed it. I did my best to read through. There's a lot of data in those things, but yeah. I don't know.
I think it's likely there will be a 10th season. And I think that Doctor Who, I definitely think that Doctor Who is not being canceled. But I think that putting the show on a bit of a hiatus, you know, and just having some specials, it's been done before. It could be done again. It wouldn't shock me. Where were you going with the idea of there not being a 10th season?
Well, it's just the doctor's confession. Just... It starts out, the description started out like making a big deal about it's the last will and testament, like that idea, and then saying that it's time for the doctor's confession. I don't know. I was just made it seem very, very final.
So they like to do that, though.
I feel like
with the doctor in general, even the line, one of the lines up here where it says, what is it? "The doctor faces the greatest challenge of his many lives." I mean, really. How many times have they used pretty much that same line to describe an episode or something that's going to happen to the doctor? So, they're definitely making it seem like some pretty big event's going to happen to the doctor or something very final. We do know Clara is going to be leaving, so something big probably will happen in relation to her. But the doctor himself, I think we can probably expect to see a third Peter Capaldi season.
We'll see.
I think if he was leaving the show, we would have heard by now.
Yeah, they've done a really good job of keeping things under wrap, though.
Yeah. But, I mean, a two-season doctor, I was going to try to go back and remember how many seasons each doctor had in the new series, but I'm not going to try to figure that out in my brain right now. But it's not unheard of for a doctor to only stick around for a short period of time, as Christopher Eccleston found out.
Especially when you're old.
Right. But no, I think he'll stick around at least one more season. And I don't know, man. I'm pretty excited. This is kind of cool that they did this, that they teased each episode now we can kind of place a lot of that stuff we saw in the trailers into specific episodes, but they didn't give away too much, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't feel like there's anything like majorly spoilerish about this. It feels like there were good synopses. Like you said, we can find different things in the trailers that we can slip in there. But it honestly has gotten me excited for it. I'm looking forward to it starting here soon.
Me too, man. A couple days, Saturday.
Yeah. Right? Time to get my season pass ready.
Today, as of recording this, it's Wednesday. Hopefully the episode will be released on Friday. So if you're listening to this on Friday, Doctor Who's back tomorrow.
Yeah, September 19th. Set your clocks. And if you're like me, we'll watch it together on Sunday.
And we successfully put off reviewing any more classic Doctor episodes after we finished the first Doctor. We put that off long enough. Now the new season's starting, so we'll wait until the big break, and then after the break, we will likely pick back up those classic episodes for anybody wondering why we stopped reviewing them. We haven't stopped them forever. We just took a break, but we will get back to them.
This summer's been crazy. It seems like I know that you've had a lot going on your side, and I've had a couple things come up on this side as well. So, yeah, the summer just got away from us. Didn't really intend on not watching more Classic Who. It just didn't seem to work out this summer.
We will definitely get back to it, but we will, for now, wrap up this episode of Bad Wolf Radio. As usual, you can find us on iTunes. Leave us a review over there. If you enjoy our show, we'd love for you to leave us a nice 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. Facebook, just search for Bad Wolf Radio. We are the one with the black and white logo. You can send us feedback at any time. Shoot us an email. We'd love to get it. If you send us an email, we will most likely read it on the air. BadWolfPodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us over at the Shot Glass Digital Network. And until next time,
later days.
Now do Later Days in the Cowardly Lion's voice. That was close. Your laugh is close.
No.